have to go back to one. We're a little early. Should we do number 83 again? Caleb, can we do number 83 again? Still got 4 minutes. Forever. Sorry. Good morning. Good to see everybody this morning. It's such a beautiful morning and woke up to some fog even earlier this morning, if your eyes were open at that point. So it's good to see all of you here today. Some announcements that I have to go over before we go on with our worship service. First of all, what a great Sunday we had last week at the park, our community service and the offering. You see there for our care center was just, we praise the Lord, such a generous offering from the community. Also, we haven't had adult Sunday school through the month of June. We will meet today. We're going to meet in the sanctuary here. And for today and next Sunday, we have a two-part DVD series. You can read that in the bulletin too. It says America's Christian History by Reverend Jim Scudder. It's very good. I've watched them both. We'll just watch one today. They're about 25 minutes and then see if we have some discussion. So if you want to stay for that, you are more than welcome to. The other announcement that is not in the bulletin, as you might notice, the social hall, the floor is all black out there. So as it goes with any construction project, there are always changes. Plan B, Plan C. Plan A was to go over the top of the existing floor as we worked on that this last Thursday morning. Getting into it, we found how loose those tiles were, all of them. As a matter of fact, so we changed plans. Some of the guys had some of these ice scrapers, you know, that are about that wide. You could just go down, start there, and go and pop them all up. Literally that easy. So they all came off. It's not that you absolutely can't go in the social hall. We don't know what, if that black will track in. I don't think it will. So if you need the bathroom down there or something with the kids, you can go, or whoever, you can. And you can sure leave that way if you want, but we just didn't want a bunch of traffic coming through there for that reason. It'll probably be that way next Sunday and the week after. We'll see how it all goes. But what we do need, so tomorrow there's a couple truck and trailers that are going up to Sioux Falls to the warehouse to get all of the floor tile, bring it down. So the plan is we had put out a call of which would work better, 1 in the afternoon or 7 in the evening to unload. Sounds like 7 in the evening is the better time. So if you're got a good strong back and want to come at 7 tomorrow evening, I don't know how much each package of the tile weighs, 60 pounds maybe, not, that's just a guess. So I'm sure we'll be putting it in various places. But 7 o'clock tomorrow evening, all young, strong, muscular help would be very welcome. Okay? All right. The rest of the announcements, please read as you have time. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day, such a beautiful morning you've blessed us with. It just brings joy to our hearts, and all the more joy is in our hearts that we can come together as brothers and sisters in the Lord, in your presence, to worship you in spirit and in truth. For Lord, our hearts join with the psalmist David when he said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. And Father, we are here because we love you. We love to praise you. You are God Most High. And we ask, Lord, that you fill this sanctuary with your glory and your goodness and your power and your presence. We ask, Father, that as we worship you and as we sit at your feet, that you would move among us by the power of your Spirit. For you know every need that is present here today, whether it might be physical, emotional, spiritual, a relational need, whatever it is, you know. And we thank you for moving and meeting and supplying our needs according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. So, Father, thank you. We are here for you because we love you and worship you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Our opening hymn, if you want to use the hymnals, is number 17, Our Great Savior. Otherwise, the words are on the screen. Let's stand, please, as we sing this. Thank you. Amen. Such beautiful words to that hymn of all who Jesus is to us. Well, take a moment, greet those around you, please, before you're seated. Good morning. Amen. Good to see everybody this morning. Some joys and concerns that we have. What a joy it is. We have Troy Heckenleibel with us this morning. He came back just before the 4th of July after spending a year over in Africa in the 196th National Guard Unit. So God bless you, Troy. Amen. Good to have you here, and thanks for your service. Also, Trevor Birch, Kelsey's husband, is deployed within the States for a couple months-ish. Okay, so we pray for Trevor as well. Some other things that I have down here. Steve just had shoulder surgery on Wednesday. You're looking good. Yeah. Hope your feet, huh? Doesn't hurt too bad. That's good. Good thing. All right. I see crutches. There's Jay. I thought he was going to be here, recovering from his knee surgery, double knee replacement as well. So prayers for little Oliver Hollinsworth. Today actually was to be his baptism. Unfortunately, he's in the Children's Hospital at Sanford, and I haven't heard from Kylie today, but yesterday I did. Did I see Trevor come in? No? Right there. Any update?
I have not heard this morning.
Okay. All right. So just keep praying for him and, of course, Kylie and Tyler. We all know how difficult that is on us as parents when we see our little ones go through these struggles. Let's see. Oh, the Menno swim team. Which we have 11 of our kids from church on the swim team, and they are having their annual mini meet tonight at the Menno swimming pool. That means it's just the kids from the Menno team. They do a meet here at 6:15 this evening. If you want to go and watch them, it's open to the public. And then next weekend, they compete in the championships over at Platte on Friday and Saturday. Our girls' softball team is playing at 10 o'clock this morning. We'll still pray for them. You know I don't like that, but so it is. If they win at 10, then they would play probably in the championship round at 4 this afternoon, the way it sounds. That's up in Sioux Falls. So, anything else over on this side? Yes, Marie. Okay, thanks, Marie. Leah Crick's birthday is on Wednesday. Happy birthday to you, Leah. Are you going to be 10 or 11? 11, okay. Anything else over here? All right, how about on this side? Yes, Donna. Today? Oh, all right. Donna Friesen's granddaughter Grace and her husband Wyatt are celebrating their first anniversary today. God bless you. Good to have you. Seth, Courtney, Aiden. Oh, no, this isn't Courtney. Sorry. Hannah. Sorry about that. Okay. David. Oh, yeah. Emmeline. Kristen Heckenleibel's birthday was yesterday. Okay, happy birthday to you. I think Jim and Deb Christensen might have an anniversary today. Happy anniversary to them. Okay, let's bow our heads in prayer, please. Heavenly Father, thank you. It's a joy to have this time where we share our concerns, where we share our joys of birthdays and anniversaries, and we ask that you bless these individuals and couples that were mentioned, and probably some that weren't. We thank you for each and every one of them. Father, for Steve, we thank you for bringing him through that surgery, and Jay as well, as they're in their recovery time right now and coming along well, and we praise you for your power at work in their lives. We want to lift up as well Amy Fisher's uncle, Danny Hauger, after suffering a very bad accident this week and broken ribs and different things. We thank you for your healing power working through his body. For little Oliver, Lord, we lift Oliver up to you. Today we would have planned to celebrate his baptism, but we'll have to wait for that. Lord, thank you that he is in your hands, that you are holding him in your everlasting arms, along with Kylie and Tyler and the family. Just, Lord, we ask for your healing power to work through Oliver, through his lungs, that you would strengthen them to give and receive oxygen as you designed them to function. Thank you for the wisdom to the doctors that are administering to him and treating him day by day. Lord, there's two unspoken requests, I'll say it that way, and you know who I mean, of two young men that are awaiting results of different situations, and we just lift them and their families up to you, and thank you for guarding them and keeping them and ministering your comfort in their lives. We pray, Lord, for our girls' softball as they're in the state tournament in Sioux Falls this morning and hopefully this afternoon yet. Thank you for the talents that you give them. Help them to play their very, very best, Lord. We thank you for the rains of this last week. Lord God, such a beautiful, beautiful answer to many, many prayers and coming at just the right time when in our minds a week ago things were getting pretty serious, and you've blessed in incredible ways. We thank you for that. Thank you for more to come to bring the crops through the season for what is required. We pray, Lord, as always, for our nation. We need your healing throughout this land. We need revival across this land. We ask that you'd move upon hearts and minds, that you would open eyes of understanding of those that do not know you. And we do stand against the powers of darkness that would try to destroy, Lord, the freedoms that we have, the blessings that we enjoy so freely in this land. We pray for our leaders, our president and vice president, our congressmen and women, Supreme Court justices, governors, Lord. You said in your word, the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord, and you turn it whithersoever way you will, even as you turn the rivers of water. And we trust you in that, Father, because we know that you are sovereign over all of your creation. As we pray for our nation, we certainly lift up the little country of Haiti, the tough week they've had with the assassination of their president. Father, it's such a difficult situation over there, and we ask for your mercy upon that nation and those people. Thank you for all the mission work that takes place there, and it is a lot, and we praise you for those that are proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ throughout that land. Thank you for these things, Lord, and anything else that was mentioned that I may have missed. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, we have some new members that we are going to welcome here this morning before we go on with the service. So if you want to come up here, you can stand down on the floor. We have Sokups and Abby Pressler and Dennis Auk. And not sure if Luella's going to make the journey down or not. I guess not. Okay. Marvin, yeah. If you want to just stand across here on the floor. Maybe you know all these people, maybe you do not. So I'll introduce you to them. If you don't, first, well, Caleb is a member, but his wife, Abby, is going to become a member. They were just married last September. Sorry. I did the wedding. I just didn't look back at the date. But I did look back because I had to think, okay, where's Abby working for sure? She is a nurse at Sanford in the ICU critical care unit. So that's still the same? Good. And Caleb Varms, of course, here. Then we have the Sokups, John and Carissa. John Farms, southwest of here. If you know where Curtis and Elaine Zabe live out there, and you just go west further, a couple miles or so. John Farms and Carissa works, she's a credit analyst for the First National Bank of Omaha and gets to work out of her home, I think, mostly. And their two boys, Eli, who just got confirmed this spring, and Austin, who's going to be a seventh grader, right? All right. Dennis Auk, who is retired, and his mom, Luella, who's sitting back there. And I had to look back in the 100-year anniversary book on some of these because Dennis and Marvin and Luella were all confirmed at Salem Reformed Church. Luella was confirmed in 1941. Wow. It's been a while back. And I think she's about 94 years old. And Luella, did I say that right? Okay, Dennis was confirmed in 1969. And Marvin was confirmed in 1954. All right, so God bless you all. We're excited to have you. I have questions for you. Then we'll have a response from the congregation. So first, do you acknowledge and profess that you have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? If so, answer, we do. Second, do you promise to be Christ's disciples, to follow his word and his will for your lives, to resist evil and oppression in the world through the power of the Holy Spirit? If so, answer, we do. Do you promise, according to the grace given you, to be a faithful member of the Church of Jesus Christ, celebrating his presence and furthering his mission in all the world? If so, answer, we do. And lastly, do you promise to participate in the life and mission of this family of God's people, sharing regularly in the worship of God and enlisting in the work of this congregation as it serves this community and the world? If so, answer, we do. Let's have a prayer and then we'll have a response. Heavenly Father, thank you for each one of these standing here, families and individuals. We rejoice, Lord, with them as you have brought them to us to be a part of the life of this local church, all the way from 94 years down to a young one, seventh grader, who's in confirmation. Thank you for the gifts that you've put within each of them and the talents, for your love flowing out of them. And we receive them with joy and thanksgiving. We thank you as we ask, Lord, for you to bless their lives and their endeavors and all that they do. We pray that you would shine brightly through them by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, I will read first. Let us, the members of Salem Reformed Church, express our welcome to Abby Pressler, John and Carissa Sokup, Luella Auk and Dennis Auk and Marvin Gehring, and affirm our mutual ministry in Christ. We welcome you with joy in the common life of this church. We promise you our friendship and prayers as we share in the hopes and labors of the Church of Jesus Christ. By the power of the Holy Spirit, may we continue to grow together in God's knowledge and love and be witnesses of our risen Savior. In the name of Jesus Christ and on behalf of Salem Reformed Church, we extend to you the hand of Christian love, welcoming you into the company of this local church. God bless you. Let's give them a hand, please. Welcome, Abby. Yeah. Carissa, John, welcome. Marvin, welcome. Duane and Luella, welcome. Yeah, God bless you. Thanks for coming up. This would be our offering time, which we just started using the box, and we just continue using it. I said it gives me about 5 minutes more time in the service. That box does. Genesis 8:22 says, as long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and winter, summer, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. That was God's promise to Noah and all of us after the flood. In place of the doxology today, we will stand and sing the Lord's Prayer. So if you stand.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Yes, Heavenly Father, thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And we give you all the glory as we bring our offerings into this storehouse. Thank you for taking them and multiplying them for the work of your kingdom, the proclaiming of your gospel, that Jesus Christ, you are Lord of all. And we praise you for that in Jesus' name. And Father, we confess our faith together before you now through the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the one holy Christian church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. If the children want to come, please, for the Kingdom Kids time.
Good morning, boys and girls. Well, hello. Good morning. There we go. Are you guys awake? I'm not sure if you are or not. Well, Pastor Mike is going to be talking today about a man in the Bible, back in Genesis. And he built something. Can you guess who we're going to talk about? Who built something big? Noah did. That's right. Back in Genesis, it talks about Noah. And who told Noah to build a boat?
God
told him. Why?
Because there was
going to
be a big flood.
There was going to be a big flood. Well, why did God want to send the flood? Because the people had turned away from God. They were not good anymore. All of them, it says in the Bible, except Noah and his wife and his children and their spouses. Everybody else had turned against God and they were doing evil things. And God said, I am going to wipe them out. But Noah, I'm going to save your family. And I want you to build a boat. Do you know how long it took him to build that boat? A very long time. Not quite that long. 120 years. It took him that long to build that boat. But you know what it says? Did Noah build it? Did the flood come? Yes, it did. But God promised Noah that he would save him. And did he? He did. And it says here in Genesis 6, verse 22, Noah did everything just as God commanded him. So did he obey God?
Yeah.
Did he know even a flood and what rain was going to be? No, because it never had rained before that. But he obeyed God. Do you think it was hard for 120 years to keep obeying God when you're building this big boat and people are probably making fun of you? Because it had never rained. They'd never seen that before. He obeyed God. And do you know what, boys and girls? It talks about him in other places in the Bible, and Pastor Mike is going to share that with us. He had faith, and he obeyed God. What does God want us to do today as boys and girls and as adults? He wants us to obey him, right? What are some ways? How can we obey God? Listening to him through what? How does he speak to us? Through the word and in our hearts. Praying to him, yep. Read the Bible. And remember in Ephesians 6:1, it tells us, children, what? Children, blank your parents in the Lord. Obey. There we go. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Do that. Love each other. Be kind. When you do something wrong, ask for forgiveness, right? We still obey God every single day. We need to talk to God and listen and do what he says, okay? All right, let's make some rain, shall we? Did you know the first time that it rained? It was probably pretty amazing because they'd never seen it before. So this represents the sky, kind of blue, and this, I'm going to make some clouds because that's where rain comes from, the clouds. Let me just take my little things off here. So we're going to make some clouds here. We're just going to put some clouds around here. Those are our clouds. And then comes the rain. The clouds soak up the moisture. There we go. The clouds soak up the moisture in the sky, and it begins to rain. Is that pretty cool? Look at that. It's going all the way down. Yellow. Let's get some more yellow. Here it comes. Down comes the rain. God keeps his promises, and he will do it for us too. All right, let's pray. You can do that at home now. You see what I have? Shaving cream, water, food coloring. You can't put too many clouds in there, though, okay? All right, let's pray. Father, we love you so much, and we thank you for giving us Noah as our example, one of our examples of how he obeyed you and you blessed him. You saved him and his family. And you protected them. We thank you that you care for each one of these boys and girls and us. And you have a plan for us. And one of those things is to obey you. Obey our parents. Be kind to each other. Love each other. Be a servant. All of these things. And you promise to be with us and to bless us. Thank you for blessing these boys and girls for this week. Whatever they do, help them to share love with other people there around. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can come look at it.
Amen. Thank you, Anne. Guys might be missing some shaving cream here, but we're going to sing number 123. This is a hymn. We haven't done it here, I don't think, that I recall, but it's written by John Newton, who's the one that wrote Amazing Grace. And the words are beautiful. The melody, I think you'll know. How sweet the name of Jesus sounds. Beautiful words right there. Beautiful words. Let's bow our heads once more, please. Heavenly Father, we thank you for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. All that you are, our shepherd, our brother, our friend, our prophet and priest and king, our Lord, our life, you are the way, and we give you all of our praise. Thank you. You are the living word. The living bread that came down from heaven. And as we look into the Word of God now, we ask that you would open the eyes of our understanding. Lord, a story that an account we're all very familiar with, but I pray that we would each come away with something fresh and new today as we live our lives of faith on this earth. I ask, Father, that you would speak through me by your Spirit to those gathered here, and I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hebrews chapter 11, we're just going to read a couple verses there first, and then we'll go back to Genesis. We've been in Hebrews, this is our fourth Sunday now in Hebrews chapter 11, but starting in verse 5, it says, by faith Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. And verse 7, by faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. Back to Genesis chapter 6. So this is a longer reading. Actually, the account of Noah is Genesis chapter 6, 7, 8, 9. Well, I didn't think I'd read all four chapters this morning, so I had to condense it somehow. But today, later on, it would sure be wonderful if you read all four chapters of that account. So I'm going to start in verse 5 of Genesis chapter 6. The Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become, and that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time. The Lord was grieved that he had made man on the earth, and his heart was filled with pain. So the Lord said, I will wipe mankind, whom I have created, from the face of the earth, men and animals, and creatures that move along the ground, and birds of the air, for I am grieved that I have made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. This is the account of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked with God. Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight and was full of violence. God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all the people on earth had corrupted their ways. So God said to Noah, I am going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I am surely going to destroy both them and the earth. So make yourself an ark of cypress wood, make rooms in it, and coat it with pitch inside and out. This is how you are to build it. The ark is to be 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 45 feet high. Make a roof for it and finish the ark to within 18 inches of the top. Put a door in the side of the ark and make lower, middle, and upper decks. I am going to bring floodwaters on the earth to destroy all life under the heavens. Every creature that has the breath of life in it, everything on earth will perish. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you will enter the ark, you and your sons and your wife and your sons' wives with you. You are to bring into the ark two of all living creatures, male and female, to keep them alive with you. Two of every kind of bird, of every kind of animal, and of every kind of creature that moves along the ground will come to you to be kept alive. You are to take every kind of food that is to be eaten and store it away as food for you and them. Noah did everything just as God commanded him. The Lord then said to Noah, go into the ark, you and your whole family, because I have found you righteous in this generation. Take with you seven of every kind of clean animal. So now he's getting more specific, right? Seven of every kind of clean animal, a male and its mate, and two of every kind of unclean animal, a male and its mate. and also seven of every kind of bird, male and female, to keep their various kinds alive throughout the earth. 7 days from now, I will send rain on the earth for 40 days and 40 nights, and I will wipe from the face of the earth every living creature I have made. And Noah did all that the Lord commanded him. Noah was 600 years old when the floodwaters came on the earth. And Noah and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives entered the ark to escape the waters of the flood. Pairs of clean and unclean animals, of birds and of all creatures that move along the ground, male and female, came to Noah and entered the ark as God had commanded Noah. And after the seven days, the flood waters came on the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, on the 17th day of the second month, stop for a sec, because don't you love how specific God is? Every detail of the time, to the year, the month, the day. On that day, all the springs of the great deep burst forth, and the floodgates of the heavens were opened, and the rain fell on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. On that very day, Noah and his sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, together with his wife and the wives of his three sons, entered the ark. They had with them every wild animal according to its kind, all livestock according to their kinds, every creature that moves along the ground according to its kind, and every bird according to its kind, everything with wings. Pairs of all creatures that have the breath of life in them came to Noah and entered the ark. The animals going in were male and female of every living thing, as God had commanded them. Then the Lord shut him in. Amen. God shut the door. That's important to know. God shut the door. All right, so as we get into this, just a quick review, okay, from some of the last weeks. You have an outline in your bulletin if you want to fill in there. We started with Abel. We're at Hebrews. It talked about Cain and Abel. Reviewing there, Abel shows us how to enter the life of faith. If we bring that up to New Testament, how to come to God. It has to be through the blood of Christ. That's the only way we come to the Father, is through the blood of Jesus. Back to Cain and Abel, even Adam and Eve, he showed Adam and Eve right off the bat when they sinned, you have to have a blood sacrifice to cover your sin. No other way. Remember when they sinned, they covered themselves with fig leaves first. God came, said, no, that's not going to work. He had to slay an animal. Blood had to be shed. He made clothes for them from animal skin. So that's showing us, how do we come to the Father? It has to be through blood. And for us, it is the blood of Christ. Second, then we came to Enoch. Enoch shows us how to live this life of faith. Once we come to know Christ, then how do we live it? We found there that Enoch walked with God for 300 years. 300 years, and then he didn't experience death like we do. God just took him, bam, couldn't find his body. So I went in, it's a picture of the rapture of the church that is yet to come. Enoch was way back there. Today, let her see, we come up to Noah. He's going to show us the work of the life of faith. Now, are we saved by works? We are not. We should all know that. We are not saved by works. We are saved by grace through faith, not of ourselves. It's the gift of God, not by works, lest anyone should boast. Ephesians 2:8. No, but there has to be the evidence that what follows our life of faith. There should be the good works that follow. And that's what we see with Noah. It's amazing to me that in Hebrews chapter 11, we have such short summaries, actually one verse about Noah. One verse in Hebrews 11, verse 7. And God takes four chapters in Genesis to explain all what went on with Noah. So the letter to the Hebrews, we've talked about before, it's written mainly originally to a Jewish group of people. So the assumption is, and they did, they knew all these accounts of the Old Testament. And we have to too. We have to. So that's why there's four chapters there. So, but the action of Noah's faith really is incredible when you think about it. God's telling him to do something he had never seen before, build this boat, the ark. He's telling him something is going to happen that had never happened on the earth before, and that is rain. The earth was, it was covered with this mist, the mist that watered the ground. They had not really experienced rain as we know it even today. And we're 1,500 years when we come to Noah. If you do the math of all how long everybody lived, we're about 1,500 years after creation when we come to where we're at right now. Incredible faith. Hebrews 11:7, once just listen again. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen. Two things really not yet seen. One, judgment upon the whole earth. I hadn't seen that in those 1,500 years. What was the other thing? The flood that was going to flood the whole earth. It happened just as God said. This isn't some fairy tale. Don't, if somebody's trying to explain it away, oh, well, it didn't really happen over the whole earth. How could that happen? How could it happen? Because God is God. He created it all. That's how it could happen. And so it did. Being when warned about things not yet seen in holy fear, reverence of God, he built an ark to save his family. So what about his life of faith, the example that we're left with? That's what I want to look at this morning. So number one, if you're doing that outline, God warns of the coming judgment. He warns them. I'm not going to reread all these verses again for time's sake, but in verse 5 of chapter 6, what does he say there? The every inclination of the thoughts of man's heart was only evil all the time. Verse 5. So you have every inclination was only evil all the time. That's pretty bad. We could use a word saying the sin, the evil on the earth by this point was chronic. What does chronic mean in a medical sense? If someone says, yeah, I deal with chronic pain, that's all the time, isn't it? You are always dealing with that pain. Doesn't get better. Yeah, there's pain after surgeries, but the hope is always it gets better. Right, Steve, Jay? It's going to get better. And it will in time. Chronic, it never stops. And that's what this was going on the planet. Only evil all the time. So he goes on, he says, the earth was corrupt in God's sight, verse 11, was full of violence. He's using all these descriptive words to tell us how bad it was. God saw how corrupt the earth had become. He sees it all. For all, look at these words, all the people on earth had corrupted their ways. So God said to Noah, I'm going to put an end to all the people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. Some have asked, how many people do you think were on the earth at this time? I was looking at some different commentaries. On the low end of the estimates, because you got to remember, people were living 600, 700, 800 years, 900 years. It's a lot of years to be having kids, right? Yeah. The one I would trust the most said at least 8 million. And that's a guess. I don't have a scripture to tell you 8 million. But just from guys that study it out far more than me, figure there would minimum have been at least 8 million on the planet at this time. These words, violence, corruption that he's using, violence, we know, we think about that in a lot of different ways. What does it mean to violate or to wrong somebody? That's violence. It means to imagine things wrongfully. Well, guess what? If a person is imagining things wrongfully, then eventually that's going to come to pass. isn't it? It means it's also used in the abuse of people, the violence. This is what was going on. Now, oddly enough, in looking through this, I just received a letter from the Abbott House up in Mitchell that we support always on Christmas Eve. I just received it this week. And I'm going to just read part of this letter to you because, and these come a couple times a year. I haven't really read one. It just about makes me weep to hear of these situations. These young girls from, it's about 12 or 13 years old up to 19-ish in age, that's who comes to stay there. Listen to this. Now, they call this girl Candace. Obviously, that's not her real name. I want to read this. We talk about things of today. And you think about back at that time, the abuse, one thing violence means, the abuse of people. Candace is just 13 years old. She stands less than 5 feet tall and weighs just under 90 pounds. She is tiny. The reason Candace is so small is because her mother used meth and drank alcohol when she was pregnant with Candace. The chemicals and alcohol affected her growth. She has no brothers or sisters and has never met her father. When Candace was 6 years old, her mother was arrested and sentenced to prison. That's when Candace was sent to live with her grandmother. Here's where it gets even worse. During the time when she lived with her grandmother, Candace was often left alone with two cousins, boys who were 15 and 17 years old. Social workers later found out that it was at this time when these teenage boys began abusing little Candace. And I left out the word that would come before the abuse. I think the adults would all know, right? As I read the report describing the abuse, it broke my heart. Candace eventually returned to living with her mother, but the abuse did not stop. On several occasions, male acquaintances of Candace's mother abused the little girl as well. Eventually, the abuse and neglect had endured for so long, it had a profound effect on Candace's behavior, especially at school. I want to just jump down. When some children arrive here to the Abbott House, they have no possessions. Sorry. Other than the clothes on their back. Others may have been brought to us in police cars, having been rescued from the hands of their abusers. Some children may have not had a decent meal in months or longer. And some may have physical wounds that have just been dressed at a hospital or medical center. Imagine the trauma these little children have endured. Oh, and that is in today's day where we live. And you think of what happened during Noah's time that had to be how many times worse than this that happens still today because of we are a sinful people. But God saw what happened, and he sees today. But John Barnett, who this man that we watched preaching on Isaiah on the Monday night men's group, he says this, God intervenes in nations when they become so corrupt. He does. Second, God gives the assignment. Here, the assignment, go make the ark. Here's the dimensions, 450 feet long, a football field, a full football field, and another half of it beyond that. Now, I know there's several of you that have been here, in here that have been to Kentucky to see the ark. Pretty amazing. God gives the dimensions. They build it to that. I was looking up, I haven't been there. We haven't been there yet. We hope to go sometime. On the pictures, it looked like the ends of it were sort of curved in, correct? Yeah. One commentary I said was they figured it was just a box with these dimensions. So we don't know that exactly unless it answers in Genesis. They have some other proof where they were curved in. But that does not matter, really. God says you got to do this. Do you know there was not a ship built with those dimensions until the 19th century? So if we're talking 1,500 years after creation, then from Jesus being born, we're going back 2,500 years to Noah. So we come Jesus to today, we're talking 4,500 years ago is when God told Noah to build this ark of this size. And man did not, could not build anything larger than that or even close to that size until the 19th century. That's pretty incredible, isn't it? Wow. Cypress wood, I think King James calls it gopher wood. The most commentaries say really it's an unknown species of tree to us today. But God knew what it needed. The ratio of it, from length to width, 6 to 1 for maximum stability. Guess what science found out way thousands of years down the road? What's the best length of a ship ratio for stability? 6 to 1. Pretty amazing, isn't it? Some of them build 8 to 1 ratio. What God does from the very beginning of all of his creation just takes thousands of years for men to find it out. And then they think, oh, we've got it figured out, 6 to 1. And God had told Noah 4,500 years ago the exact dimensions for that boat to float. 6 to 1. Here, this, I just thought some of this was interesting. Some of these math whiz people can figure it all out. What's the square footage of that ark? I think figuring 3 levels like we read, 100,000 square feet. 100,000. How many animals could it have handled? Now, this is based on an average size animal, so they took a sheep. If you figure a sheep, so yeah, you got bigger cows, horses, whatever. You got a whole lot of animals that are littler than sheep, so let's call that an average. 125,000 animals in all those compartments could have fit. Pretty amazing, isn't it? Of all those species. Wow. And the food? Where is that all coming from? Verse 21, I just read it. You're to take of every kind of food that is to be eaten and store it away as food for you and them. Then being the animals, the birds, all the creepy crawly creatures on the boat. God had it all planned out, and then the flood is going to come. So 3, Noah responds in faith there. How does he respond in faith? This is such... All of these in Hebrews 11 are such incredible examples. When we come up against hard situations in our lives and hard places, boy, it's good to read through Hebrews chapter 11. If you're not familiar with the accounts, go back to Genesis. See what happened. God is a God of the impossible. He is always doing miracles in lives, even yet today. His obedience, letter A. We see it in his obedience. 2 times, Genesis 6:22, Genesis 7:5. 6:22, Noah did everything just as God commanded him. 7:5, Noah did all that the Lord commanded him. Never had seen rain. Never, there was water, sure. So there were probably some little boats that had been built. We're talking a boat this size. I mean, well, you might say, well, if God told me that out loud, yeah, I'd do it too. Would you? Would you? He's told us all this, written, which is just the same as out loud. Well, you know, yeah, you know. No, it is his word to us today. So the incredible faith that Noah exhibited to do this, as Ann said, 120 years. So it varies 100 to 120 years-ish in there. Anyway, it was a long time. And all that time, Noah was being ridiculed, mocked. What are you doing, Noah? Building a boat. Why? Because God's going to destroy the whole planet with a flood. Oh, flood. Oh, we've never had a flood before. How's that going to happen? It's going to rain. Rain, what's rain? Well, I don't know. God said it's going to do it. So it's going to do it. Oh, you crazy old man. How many, what was he, 600 years old when he started? Of course, that wasn't old then, really. He lived to 950. That's how long he lived. Being ridiculed all the way through. It says, by faith, let me go back to this. By faith, he condemned the world. Was he just condemning them with his words? I don't think so, not necessarily. He was condemning them through his actions of faith, through his preaching, saying, if you don't repent and change your ways, destruction's coming. I'm telling you, it's coming. They wouldn't believe him. They mocked him. See, living by faith, that's what faith is. That's what faith does. It takes God at his word and acts upon it. Even when it does not make sense. And a lot of times it doesn't to our natural minds. We're living in a day, is it as bad as Noah? No. But it's going to be, because Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. It's going to be. So we're living in a day where just more and more sin is just being celebrated and whoa, and more of it is sexual sins in all kinds of crazy ways, and it's just celebrated. And if you're not going along with it, you're shamed. Shamed by the ones who say, oh, we're inclusive in all of this, inclusive in whatever the words are. Inclusive except for anyone who doesn't believe their way. Is that being inclusive? I don't think so. It's not. It is not. So Noah stood as a righteous man through all of that, we're told in God's word two times. Does that mean he was perfect? No. He was not perfect, but he took God at his word. And God provided that ark for him and his family to rescue them from judgment. And you know who our ark is today? Yes, it is Jesus Christ. He is the ark. How interesting that God said, make a door, one door into that ark. One door, and God shut the door. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. John 10, Jesus said, I am the door, or I am the gate, depending which translation you use. He's the only door. And people think that's far out today. It's not far out. It's the same. It's his principles from the very beginning. Noah, his obedience, he worshiped God. One of the first things he did when they got off the ark was he took some of those clean pair of animals. That's why there were seven of those. And he slew them and offered them as a sacrifice. Blood had to be shed. He worshiped God by faith as soon as he got off that ark. Secondly, his daily living. His daily living, let her be. Genesis 6:8, Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Genesis 7:1, God says, because I've found you righteous in this generation, I've chosen you and your family. Incredible. 2 Peter 2:5 says, Noah was a preacher of righteousness through his actions and, yes, by his word. So as it was in the days of Noah, people scoffed at him. They laughed at him. 100 years he was telling them, it's coming. I'm telling you the flood is coming. A global destruction. Oh, you crazy old man, get out of here. Say it's the same now. Jesus said it in the epistles. Jesus didn't say it in the epistles, excuse me. He was already in heaven by that point. It says in the epistles, in the last days, scoffers will come and say, where is the promise of his coming? It's the same today as it's been for thousands of years and on and on. No, he's coming. And when that moment comes, and he takes us all out of here, that's it. The door is shut, just like the door was shut at Noah's time. They scoffed at the warnings, the messages, but Noah kept proclaiming it on and on. Faithfully, he did. And thank God that he did. The first world was destroyed by flood. 2 Peter 3:7, I just want to read this verse to you. It says, by the same word. Verse 6 of 2 Peter 3 talks about the flood. Verse 7 says, by the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Why? Many reasons why God said so, but it's also to prepare for the new heavens and the new earth, where the new Jerusalem is going to come down, and that's a whole other deal to get into. First was with water, second is going to be by fire. So we got to be ready. A perfect no. One last thing here. If you read chapter 9, well, an unfortunate thing that happened after Noah got off the ark. He offered the sacrifice, time goes on, and Noah gets drunk. And there's an issue that happens with one of Noah's sons who abuses his father as he is drunk. So he was not perfect, but he trusted God. He believed God as he could under the old covenant, and it was accounted to him as righteousness. Going to see Noah in heaven? Yeah. Yes, we will. We got to be ready. We got to know him. We should all, if you know Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're already living in the ark, so to speak, because that's Jesus. In him we live and move and have our being, the Bible says. Let's pray. Father, thank you for these amazing examples of faith. Help us to take you at your word also. When we don't quite understand it, when all the world is going the opposite way, or so much of the world, help us to live by faith, to stand upon your word as you give instruction. We thank you, Father. We know we are not perfect either. As we confess our sin, you cleanse us through the blood of Jesus Christ. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, I thought of no other song, hymn, better to close with than In Christ Alone. So let's stand as we sing that, please. Amen. Please receive the benediction, and now may the Lord go with you. May he go ahead of you to guide you, behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over you, and within you to give you his peace. Amen. And as always, we sing as a prayer for our nation, God bless America.